This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, let's talk about a different kind of light. A small sphere of luminous blue set against an unfathomable infinite black.
For all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you.
50 years ago today, Christmas Eve 1968, Apollo 8 astronaut Bill Anders, along with Jim Lovell and Frank Borman, the first humans ever to orbit the moon, looked back across the 250,000 miles between them and home and sent this message.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
That's Anders there reading from the book of Genesis. And on that same Christmas Eve, Bill Anders took a photo of the liquid blue light of planet Earth, rising above the bleak gray lunar surface. His Earthrise photo became one of the most influential photographs of the 20th century, showing all of humanity what the crew of Apollo 8 had witnessed. As Lovell said, quote, "The vast loneliness is awe-inspiring, and it makes you realize just what you have back there on Earth." Well, joining us now from San Diego, California, is Apollo 8 astronaut and retired Air Force Major General Bill Anders. Bill Anders, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Meghna.
And thank you so very much for taking some time out of your Christmas Eve 2018 to speak with us. Mr. Anders, first of all, just take us back to December 1968, 50 years later. How do you look back upon your historic mission?
Well, it was a lot of firsts for Apollo 8. It was the first time that humans rode the mighty Saturn V rocket. It was the first time that humans left the gravity and broke free of the gravity of their own home planet. First time we went as far from Earth as the moon, and the first time people went into our nearest neighbor in the solar system, the moon. So there were lots of firsts on Apollo 8.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about moonshots, that was the first moonshot that humanity made, right? And so, you orbited the moon, what, 10 times on this mission. That first time that you went behind the moon and lost sight of home, lost sight of Earth, what was that like?
Well, as we were going backwards in our space vehicle to get into lunar orbit, we had to burn the rocket engine we had on our command and service module in order to slow down to be caught by lunar gravity. I can remember going, losing sight of the Earth and going into the moon shadow, and then going into the shadow from the moon of Earthshine. And the sky was just totally black background and absolutely full of so many stars you couldn't tell the constellations. But as I look back over my right shoulder, suddenly the stars stopped, and there was this black hole. And the hair came up kind of on the back of my head, and that was the black hole was the moon, blocking out all light that we had coming either from the sun or from the Earth. Kind of scary.
I mean, no human had ever been so cut off from planet Earth as the three of you were then.
Well, that's right, and we had to make a very critical maneuver to burn our rocket engine for several minutes and to slow us down so that we could stay in a 60 by 160-mile orbit around the moon. We didn't want to hit it. And we didn't want to bounce out away from it. So this was a very critical maneuver that we had to do all by ourselves.
Right. I mean, in the multiple burns you had to do, you had the option of, like you said, hitting the lunar surface. Definitely didn't want to do that. Spinning out away from the moon and away from planet Earth. Also didn't want to do that. Orbiting the moon until your oxygen ran out. Definitely did not want to do that. Or getting it right. Now, of course, you guys got it right. Thank goodness here. But tell us the story of what happened when you came around, and was it the first time or on a subsequent orbit where you saw Earth return from behind the moon?
We didn't see the Earth were three orbits around the moon. We were going backwards, upside down. I remember coming around and getting radio contact with the Earth and started discussing lunar craters, one of which I had named after myself for training. But we went around the moon three times and then reoriented the spacecraft. So that we'd be going head down, but pointy nose forward. And as Frank Borman made the attitude adjustment to do that, out of the corner of my eye, I caught a flash of color because the moon was really gray and beat up. And frankly, by that time, getting a little boring. It was one hole after the next. And suddenly there was this apparition. So I had a camera and snapped a picture of it. Borman jokingly says, hey, you can't do that. It's not on the flight plan because I had a heavy load of lunar craters to photograph.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Anders, can I just jump in here for a second? Because sure. The moment you're referencing, we actually have the recording of that moment. It happened just after about 10:30 a.m. Houston time on December 24th, 1968, so almost exactly 50 years ago to this moment. And we have this tape here. You're going to hear Commander Frank Borman preparing a roll maneuver to reorient the spacecraft. And then we'll hear Bill Anders, we'll hear your reaction to what you saw. So here it is.
Oh, my God, look at that picture over there. There's the Earth coming up. Wow, is that pretty. Hey, don't take that. It's not scheduled. You got a color film, Jim? Hand me a roll of color quick,
oh,
will you?
Oh, man, that's great. Where is it?
Quick.
Bill, I got a phrase that's very clear right here. Got it?
Yep. Just take several of them.
Take several of them. Here, give it to me.
Wait a minute. Let me just get the right setting here. Just calm. Okay, calm down, Mama.
Well, I got it right. Oh, that's a beautiful shot.
That's Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman. I love that moment where, was that you, Mr. Anders, who's telling Jim Lovell, calm down, Lovell?
Right. He was getting pretty excited, but his windows were kind of fogged up. And I had the color film and the long lens. And so my window was about the clearest in the spacecraft. So the combination of clear window, long lens, and color is what actually captured what eventually became known as Earthrise.
Mm-hmm. So this is this photo that's so famous, so well known. In the foreground, you see the bleak, sort of blasted gray horizon of the moon, and then the darkness of space beyond, and that perfect, the blue, the perfect blue of planet Earth in the distance. Seeing Earth like that from where you were coming up over the moon's horizon, how did that change you, Bill Anders?
Well, at the time, we were so busy, I didn't really focus too much on the philosophical or political aspects of it. But as time went by, it became more impressive to me that as you looked at this beautiful, fragile orb that we live in, that you could see no boundaries, no political divisions, and also you could tell that it was quite small, I mean, physically insignificant, though yet that's the planet and the orb of which we evolved. And I always thought it was too bad that we couldn't get the United Nations up there to see this same view. Maybe we'd stop throwing bombs and rockets at each other and take better care of it.
Mm. Do you still feel that way?
Even more so. As time goes by, you know, maybe you're just getting old, but the poet in me sees that the Earthrise picture, which had helped, didn't start, but helped kickstart the environmental movement, which had kind of stalled out, and has, brought understanding or greater understanding to people about the fragility of our planet, has impressed me even more so. And indeed, I was impressed when the International Astronautical Union just recently dedicated a crater to the Earthrise event itself, which is in the field of view of the now iconic Earthrise photo called Anders Earthrise.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to take a quick call here, if I may. Let's go to Todd, who's calling from Springfield, Ohio. Todd, you're on the air with Bill Anders.
Yes. Good day. I mean, what an amazing adventure. I couldn't even, there's so many questions, but how did the whole event, and you just touched on it some, affect you on a spiritual level? I mean, I can't imagine you not only just going through such a wild experience, but turning around and seeing that. How did that change your look at God?
Well, Todd, I don't want to get into a religious debate, but one thing, it's certainly clear that if you see the earth that's about the size of your fist at arm's length, it doesn't take much of a mathematician to figure at 10 arm's length, the earth would be about the size of a marble. And at 100 arm's length, it would be down to being about the size of a ladybug. You wouldn't have to, and those are distances that are hardly anywhere in space. So one thing that impressed me is that even though the earth is physically insignificant, it certainly is important to humanity, but it also is very small, and it's not, it impressed me that we who go around a rather insignificant star called the Sun in a relatively insignificant galaxy, we're not the center of the universe, and you can take that, about any way you want to, but we definitely are out on the edge of almost nowhere in space.
Well, you know, that photo that you took that captured so perfectly the truth of our fragility in this universe, in 1968, it couldn't have come at a better time, right? I mean, 68 was such a tumultuous year for the United States, at the very least, right, with the assassination of Dr. King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, just political upheaval left and right. I know that I think it was Commander Borman that received a four-word telegram after the Apollo 8 mission ended, saying, "Thanks, you saved 1968." Did you get that sense? Maybe after splashing back down on Earth in the days and weeks and months that followed.
Well, we had been almost isolated by the political turmoil because of spending, just almost continuous time in the simulators. But, of course, I knew of the trouble the country was going through. Indeed, I had a lot of friends over in Vietnam who were being shot up where I would be had it not been for my Apollo duties. But indeed, it was 68, even then, it was pretty clear it was about the only positive thing that was happening in the world.
It makes me wonder, I wish we could do something about 2018, to be quite frank.
might be more than Apollo to fix this one.
Yeah. Well, but on that note, we've just got a couple minutes here, Mr. Anders. This is the thing that always gives me hope about the U.S. space program, that troubled as it might be and costly as it might be, it still provides us with scientific knowledge, the ability to explore, and these moments, photographic or otherwise, that really bring us all together as people. So are you happy with where the U.S. space program is now, and where would you like to see it go?
Well, yes and no about happiness. I think the unmanned program, both from a practical point of view of weather satellites and communication satellites, many others, is moving right along. The scientific program, okay, Mars lander, rovers, the Chinese are putting a radio telescope on the back of the side of the moon. I think that's great. But the unmanned program, which is very expensive, but indeed catches the attention of humans more than unmanned spacecraft. It's so expensive, and yet has been a bit of a letdown. The shuttle program never lived up to its advertised potential. It was supposed to have one or two flights a month, and they got down to one or two a year. The space station, which was had to be a place for the shuttle to go, and a shuttle had to have and it needed a shuttle to get there. I think those were serious political mistakes. And in retrospect, today, We're stalled out. We're vibrating between going to the moon or going to Mars or somewhere in between. It's sad to see that the space program really doesn't have the kind of leadership that it used to have.
Right. Well, you know what, Bill Anders, if I may, your point taken. I always feel hopeful, though, when I look up at the stars, in part because of the work of people such as you, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you, Mr. Anders. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Megan. Nice to talk to you.
Well, Bill Anders, 50 years ago today, took the remarkable Earthrise photo from the Apollo 8 mission. We're going to close with the message that Commander Frank Borman gave to the people of Earth December 24th, 1968.
And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.